Friday night at 7 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM. Coming up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 AM, along with the North Gym, 107.5 FM, we are going to preview the high school football night, week one. KJ Pilcher from the Cedar Rapids Gazette will stop by. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Thomas Gilman's day over in Paris, France, and talk some wrestling with KJ as well. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit. Also, we're going to talk about the Cedar Rapids Hall of Fame softball weekend with Mike Knox. That'll be coming up on the program today as well. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. It's a big Friday edition coming your way here on KGYM. It's a day, Mark, that in pretty much early June you never think is going to get here. And you don't worry about it. And then as it gets closer and closer, you start to panic a little bit and say, oh my gosh, we don't have enough time. But we're off and running. It's the first night of the high school football season. Para games coming your way tonight. We got the South Gym tailgate tour going on right now from down at Regina. They're getting ready to take on Xavier, and we'll have it on 107.5 and 106.3 FM tonight. And then on 1600 AM, myself, John Hegarty, Jeff Moss, will be out at Kingston Stadium as it'll be the top 10 battle between Cedar Rapids Prairie and Cedar Rapids Washington. All of that brought to you, of course, by the First Federal Credit Union, presented by First Federal Credit Union. And we'll have the games at right around 7 o'clock. And then after the game, scoreboard show coming your way with Jeff Downing here live from our studios. All the scores from the eastern half, top 10s as well. So busy night of football, first to nine, Mark.
Yeah, and we're blessed with terrific weather, almost fall-like weather in late August. And that's a wonderful thing. As you know, you've been to many season openers, Scott, as have I. You know, it could be as hot as in the 90s, and you take water breaks and whatnot, but none of that tonight.
I hope not.
I was out at Kingston Stadium last night. It was the stadium looks beautiful. You'll be out there tonight, and stadiums across eastern Iowa. Hope you all have a great night.
You didn't even have to sneak up and open the side door or the window or anything like that for me.
I didn't, no. I think you should be in good shape.
I think we're going to be all right. We don't even need John's big fan tonight that he usually brings for the August and early September games. I think he can keep that at home if he's listening, and I'm sure he is. And yeah, it's just going to be a beautiful night for football. Boy, we've been in there where we have been sweating so profusely, but I don't think we're going to have any problem with that as far as it goes tonight. But great night for high school football. We'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit. We're going to talk some wrestling as well. KJ has just walked in, and not to our studio. He's right over there. You see him? There he is. He's been all over the place today, but we'll talk a little wrestling with him as well. In case you missed it, and spoiler alert, and if you are recording it or if you don't want to know what happens, we'll tell you what happened here in the next couple of seconds or so. Thomas Gilman, silver medalist today over in Paris, France, went through his preliminary round unscathed, went undefeated, 4-0, I believe, and had to take on a Japanese wrestler for the gold medal, and was shut out 6-0.
Yuki Takahashi of Japan defeated Gilman 6-0 earlier today for the gold medal. No shame in a silver medal, that's for sure, but you know these wrestlers, Scott. Gilman was in France and going for nothing but a gold medal, but fell a bit short. The stories I've read, he had five or six different occasions during the meet where he got in on shots but just could not finish them, and Takahashi defeated him 6-0. So great performance by Gilman, who is not really highly ranked at his weight class in the world.
No. And then last night overseas as well, better news for the Iowa Hawkeye baseball team. My goodness, Cole McDonald, a little history last night for Team USA, even though it is the Iowa baseball team. Sounds like Iowa is still counting it as a no-hitter, but he had the first no-hitter for the Hawkeyes since 1965, folks.
McDonald, a product of New Hampton, Only needed 97 pitches to dispose of the Czech Republic. I have mixed emotions about that being half Czech. But,
me too.
Iowa baseball team cruising along, only lost one game so far. Now faces Korea tonight at 10 o'clock Central Time. And that'll determine, games tonight determine the final four as they head for medals.
Okay, so Korea tonight, and that'll be a little bit tougher. Was not the Czech All-Star team. Correct?
Apparently not. I don't know.
Just had a Cole McDonald has all the ability in the world. And I know Iowa and Rick Keller are really looking forward to what he can bring, what Sammy Lizarraga can bring as far as pitching. They're going to be probably two starters in there next year for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So good way to start things with a no-hitter over there in Taiwan, correct? Taipei, Taiwan?
That's correct.
Is that correct? All right. Coming up on 10 past the hour of 3 o'clock and busy, busy weekend. This is kind of, I'm glad it's a staircase of football. You start off with the high school season getting underway tonight and a few games, three games last night. And then next weekend's the kickoff of college football and then it's the pro football season right after that. So I'm glad they don't come all at once. It's a little bit of a stair step. You don't get thrown into the deep end right away. So I am very thankful for that. But high school football is going to be a terrific tonight. And again, we got a couple of games coming your way. Should be good ones right here on KGYM. Zach Johnson's on the course right now playing some golf.
He's actually finished for the day. He shot a 1-over par 71. He stands at +3 for the tournament. And he's teetering on the projected cut line. Right now, he's one outside of the cut line, tied for 74th. So he needs four or five guys that are ahead of him to fall back so he can make the cut for the weekend in this first leg of the FedEx Cup. It's called the Northern Trust Open. Right now, the leaders, three-way tied Jonathan Vegas, Dustin Johnson, and Ricky Fowler. Fowler's shooting a 66 today. Russell Henley on the course at -5. So there you go, headed for the weekend. And Zach's going to need some luck to play.
He is going to need some luck. Now
he will play next week.
I was just going to say, he is going to move on. Top 100, correct? Move on to,
that's correct,
to Boston next week. And that is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday tournament, by the way, up at TPC Boston up there. And that is, I can't think of the name of it right now. I know it's an overseas financial firm that runs it. That is the name sponsor of the tournament next week.
Not the Deutsche Bank, is it?
Yes, the Deutsche Bank. I believe the Deutsche Bank.
Zach, 47th right now as we sit this minute in FedEx Cup points, which would also get him into the third leg, which is the low 70. So in order to move into the final leg, which is the top 30, he's going to have to make a move the next couple weeks.
And has won at the third venue before, so that he has that in his back pocket a little bit. Doesn't mean you're going to win this time, but at least he's got a pretty good track record at Conway Farms up outside Chicago. So he's got that to work with, and then hopefully get into, what is it, the top 30 that go down to
top
Atlanta?
Top 30, going into the tournament finals, the final leg,
at East Lake, and that will end the PGA season. All right, we're going to take a break, come back here at 12 past the hour, 3 o'clock here on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, and we're going to dive into high school football week one. KJ Pilcher, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, standing by. We're going to talk a little bit about the wrestling today in Paris as well. We'll do that when we return here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us. Much more to come, including a Dr. Pepper prize pack. We're going to be giving that away, which includes a 24-pack of regular or diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper prizes, some KGYM prizes as well. We've got that to give away on the program today. And thanks to Steve Carter, everybody at Dr. Pepper, for helping us out with that. Back with more after this.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. This football season, add sizzle to the game. La Cantina would be happy to cater your tailgate. Or reserve La Cantina's party room and watch the action on their big screen while you crunch, sip, and cheer. La Cantina makes every football game a winner. Connect at La Cantina in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and in downtown Cedar Rapids. La Cantina is now accepting applications for positions at all three locations.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes. meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees. No more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915.
Your building might look good, but how about your parking lot? Faded lines, potholes, and cracks can ruin a good first impression. Fixing your lot can be more affordable than you think. Tate Asphalt will be happy to come take a look and give you a free estimate. They do everything, repairs, striping, sealing, and they've been doing top-notch work around here for over 30 years. So let your parking lot impress your customers before they even step inside. Pave it to last with Tate Asphalt. Contact them at TateAsphalt.com.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you on the Gym Class, Friday edition, coming your way here on KGYM. Don't forget, as soon as we depart, it will be the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and Rob Howe. They are down at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square. They'll be there until 7 o'clock tonight, and should be a very lively program. Always is on a Friday. And then next Friday, they will not be at Coach's Corner, but they'll be over at Coralville Marriott for Fry Fest, which is just around the corner, and that will be on the eve of Iowa, Wyoming, which will be on Saturday, September the 2nd. We've got Before the Boom, we got After the Final Gun live from down at Coach's Corner on that particular day, and then Saturday night, it'll be UNI in Ames to take on the Iowa State Cyclones. But tonight, it's high school football. We'll get to that coming up in a moment, but KJ Pilcher joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and read his stuff at thegazette.com, and yeah. A sitting ovation.
I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get. Beats the alternative. Heck.
Yeah.
Yes, I wish my family greeted me like that during the holidays.
What, the girls don't greet you like that?
Oh, are you kidding? So they're at the age now where they greet me with their hand out.
Well, wait till they get driving, man. I'm sorry to scare you like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right? It's not like I need anything more to worry about.
We'll get to football, but let's start things off with wrestling.
Wrestling.
Over in Paris today, Thomas Gilman, as Mark said, you know, great for a silver medal, but that's not what wrestlers go out to get.
Right. I remember being asked what was better, an Olympic bronze or an NCAA championship? And even though you're on a bigger stage, wrestlers want to win. Mm-hmm. It might be a bigger deal for people outside, but the person who's trained, especially somebody like Gilman, who ever since I remember the first Midlands title that he won, talking to him about, you know, hey, winning this championship, he's like, I'm not training to be a Midlands champ. I'm training to be a world champ. And this is something for years that he's had in his sights. I think there will be some, you know, hey, I was right there kind of a feeling, but it's not necessarily the lauded world championship that he's after. And he wrestled very, very well. You know, there's no taking away. I mean, what he did today was phenomenal. But to him, he fell short of his goal. And that's tough. And it's hard for people outside to really fathom, you know, heck. Everybody except for Takahashi would trade places with him in a heartbeat, you know. But you mentioned it. He wrestled well. Takahashi is the person that he's kind of been shooting for. You know, he's talked all along about training to beat the Japanese wrestler and just came up short, but boy, he had a great performance, not just today, but even in the world team trials and the last chance qualifier. People forget that it's August. So my Washington man, a little over five months ago, he was wrestling for a national title. You know, he was in the NCAA championships. So, you know, pretty amazing feat for what he did. And it's been a really good two, three days for USA Freestyle, men's and women's.
Yeah. This is maybe just the tip of the iceberg because it's Gilman's first senior-level competition. Mm-hmm. He's going to be at the 2018 World Cup at Carver Hawkeye in April.
How fun is that going to be?
Yeah, and then who knows from there.
Right. And, you know, like you said, just the tip of the iceberg because he's 5 months away from still being in college. You know, and he's got a pretty big window, and I think freestyle suits him really well. You know, not wrestling is wrestling. Wrestlers will tell you it doesn't matter what discipline it is. But I think he is a very, very strong. I think he's a stronger freestyle wrestler than he is a folk style. Even though he's good all around, I'm not trying to say that, but I think freestyle suits him very well. And he's got kind of a revamped Hawkeye Wrestling Club to train with. He'll still have Corey Clark there. You know, I think Daniel Dennis is still involved, and you got Tom and Terry, who you know. Tom and Terry, for years, were known as brawlers, but their technical skills, especially Terry, I think Terry is probably one of the best technicians around. Same with Tom. Those skills were underrated, and they are great. That's why you've seen so much success at those lower weights with Tom and Terry and the Hawkeye Wrestling Club. Ramos, Dennis, you know, probably Clark, too, once he gets going and back from injury.
McDonough, to a certain extent.
McDonough as well. You know, he was a medalist at the University Worlds here recently, too. So, you know, that's why. And the sky's the limit for him, because he's the kind of person that will just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and won't be satisfied until he gets that world, second world title, Olympic title, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Team Clark did well, too. They're doing, keeping, I say Team Clark, so which is a pretty neat story.
Right.
Before we leave wrestling, though, schedules are out now. Of course, you got Kevin Dresser over in Ames. Iowa State moved to the end of the year. You like it?
I kind of do. I kind of do, because I
especially
think
with what could happen with Iowa State.
Yeah, with the personnel and everything. But I do kind of like it. I really wish there was some way, and I know they can't. I wish there was still some way they could do a home-and-home. I still think that would be awesome. One at the front of the year, one in February as well. But I really kind of like this. A lot of things leading up to it. More than likely, a lot of guys will kind of be kind of ship-shape, you know, at their top level, getting ready to peak for the end of the year and getting ready to wrestle that Iowa State duel. I think just the dynamic now with Dresser and Metcalf and Zadik and St. John in Ames, you know, and Tom and Terry and Morningstar and Burhau, just the coaching staffs add that buzz to it. But I think over the course of the year, as it kind of stews, you know, and comes to a head in February, I think it could be an amazing atmosphere and certainly a fun duel. I still think Iowa State has a lot of ground to catch up on, but they do have some very good wrestlers in the room right now that are going to progress and get even better. So I don't think it'll be quite the blowout that many people expect, but I still think it's still the balance is still kind of favoring one side, the Iowa side, but I think that'll level out here soon, and that should be fun. Right in the middle of February, right in the middle of cold February, when things have dialed down from conference stuff and those guys going at it.
KJ Pilcher of the Gazette will not have to wrestle for a seat in the Kingston Stadium press box tonight.
Gosh, I hope not.
He'll have one on the 50-yard line for a dandy of a game. Washington, Prairie, nice feature on Mr. Usher today's paper.
Yep.
This could be a dandy, I think.
I think so, too. And, you know, one of the things, it's not just these two teams. There seems to be a lot of teams that have been depleted by graduation. Now, depleted, I mean a lot of their notable players are gone. You see that all over, at least the eastern side of the state. Both of these teams have lost some real key guys. Prairie up front graduated a lot, and they have that running back tandem with Meyer and Gansky. But they've got some playmakers in Levi Usher. You've got Rayner back there as well. And you've got Bliss's offense, which can pose fits for any defense, even if you've seen it before. And these two teams played a real close game at the beginning of the season, really kind of opened their eyes to what Prairie was working with last year, which they ended up winning the district title because you knew Wash was going to be good. And Prairie pretty much continued that all the way through the season as well. Wash, you know, you have Ryan Vance, which I can't remember the last time I covered a Wash game, and he wasn't a factor.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been 4 years.
You've got some key skill position guys that are gone now. Drew Dostal, you know, that guy did a little bit of everything for Washington, and he's going to be missed. But, you know, they had good sophomore programs. They've got key guys back. You know, Washington has two Division I linemen. Whenever you have something like that, you know, you're going to be in a game because those guys will block, make holes. That might be where Washington has the advantage up front, you know, and that could dictate a lot of what happens tonight. But never count out a Bliss offense where you don't know what's going on and who's doing what. And, you know, if they throw the kitchen sink at you, that'd be the least of your problems because it's a pretty fun offense. But Levi Usher will certainly be a playmaker for them. Did a little bit of everything. Or is expected to do a little bit of everything for him to get him the ball.
Non-district football, you know, you don't have to show everything right now, especially in Class 4A, right? Because you got 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. You got a month until the games mean something as far as the district standings are concerned. 2 weeks with the other classes. So it's a little bit more of a sense of urgency anyway. But there is a, you know, you may want to get Prairie early because you can't rep this offense. I've heard that from coach after coach.
And that's a good point. And, you know, the interesting thing is I was talking about this with Dan Sabers at Iowa City High this year. And they have, you know, one of those teams that are overhauling just about every, you know, they only had about 2-3 starters coming back, really, people changing positions. And he said, we don't have to hit a lot in preseason because we have 4 weeks of non-district games that we can really feel things out and get a feel for what's going to happen in game time situations, live situations like that. And that's a great point because I think you want to be able to face something like this where there's not as much on the line and when, you know, Prairie's still figuring out, okay, who can we go to and who is going to fill this role for us before they get clicked on all cylinders because they can cause a lot of fits for people. And, you know, I know we've talked about non-district games and stuff like this. Make no mistake, they still count. And Sabres was the one that kind of opened my eyes. You know, I was like, well, you know, it doesn't count till week five. He goes, oh, week four counts. That's Iowa City West, of course. You know, so there are games like that. You know, I think it's September 14th, Washington and Linmar.
Oh, yeah.
That game is going to count, you know, with Mo and PJ at their new posts right now. You know, those games still count. But like you said, it gives them a chance to really feel out what the strengths of these teams are, what they need to work on. And then by the time district play comes around, they can put themselves in the best position to be successful.
In that vein, and before we moved on to other teams, other games, KJ, Mo Blue, been a loyal servant to Paul James at Washington. Mm-hmm. Paul now going to make his debut at Linmar tonight, but it's got to be a huge night for Mo Blue to be the head man, the first African-American head coach in the mm-hmm. Mississippi Valley Conference. You're a Washington Warrior, and you know how much
Mo.
He's meant. How much he's meant to that program.
I know Mo. In full disclosure, I grew up with Mo. You know, we were teammates together. There, maybe Dwayne Schulte to a little bit of an extent when he was at LaSalle. Mo is Washington. Mo has been there since he was young. You know, he went through the program. Shortly after he was done, even when he was in college, he was coming back to help. He's not just the head coach of a football program. He's leading a football program that he loves and he cares about and has for over two decades. I know it was a huge, huge deal for him to actually be handed the keys to the car there. You mentioned the first African-American head coach in the Metro. Something that when it kind of dawned on us that this was the case, it was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been, you know, and I feel maybe it's just because I've lived here all my life. I feel it's a diverse city. And you know, you would think there would have been an African-American head coach before now, especially with the talent that's come through. Mo understands what that means, but he doesn't want that to define him.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Glad we can break this door down, but I want to be considered the best coach I can be, you know, and it's, he understands the relevance and how important it is. But in the same vein, he doesn't want that to encapsulate the work that he does, you know, but it's a great, it's a fantastic, it's a fantastic move, a great coach in the first part. He's a perfect person to take over that program. Icing on the cake that it happens to have that cultural impact as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, joining us here. We're talking a little high school football as we get ready for week one. Tell you what, you can't find a bad game on the plate tonight in the Metro. I mean, Wash Prairie, you got the other game we're doing, Xavier down at Regina, which has been just a wonderful, wonderful series. Hopefully, I would love to see him continue it. I don't know what's going to happen, but...
Yeah, I would think so after they reshuffle the districts and stuff like that. I hope they're able to keep this because it really has been kind of one of the marquee games that have come out of this the district replacing conferences on this side of the state and moving around from 3A to 1A. And, you know, they've had some doozies. And like 2 years ago, Regina was up big and Xavier came back in the second half and Dallas Klein kicked a field goal with no time remaining to win it. They had another tight game last year. I even think the first year when it was at Xavier, it was like 21-7, and it might have been a 7-6 game or something really close at halftime as well. So, yeah, these are two programs that do very well, and you know, it's kind of a neat thing to see them go head-to-head, which we wouldn't have kind of had that before. So hopefully they keep it going. And you can imagine it's going to be a lot of the same, you know. Quinn Schulte is going to take over at quarterback, which we'll see how that goes. And, you know, if he follows his brother's footsteps, Xavier's going to be just fine. And, of course, you know Jerry O'Connell's defense. They're always going to be stout and strong. And Regina, you know, you got to think they're out for blood after losing on their home field 2 years ago to these guys the way they did. They returned some great skill players in Conlin and Phillips and Volstead. And then, you know, the streak being snapped against Western Christian. You know they want to come out and kind of reestablish things and prove a little bit of a point.
I think it's going to be interesting what Kennedy does this year because as the Gazette preview and Scott's preview on Saturday mornings pointed out, a stable of running backs, and like most teams, you got to fill in here and there, but that could be quite an exciting team, and the Cougars open at Muscatine tonight.
You know, that was the one thing that I think I regret with our preseason polls. I did not have Kennedy in there.
I did.
And I'm right there with you because that was the one thing when I sent it, I was like, oh, crud. You know, because I really think they're going to be an exciting team. You know, I think they were a good team last year. They just all of a sudden forgot how to finish games. And now you're taking all the speed that they have from track, from these track athletes and the toughness from the wrestlers. You know, they have a DN that was a Drake qualifier in the 100. That's crazy. That's crazy.
He's like 6'3".
Yeah. Zach Packingham, you know, was ran 11.03 or something like that. And this is one of your D linemen. So they could be really, really exciting. As you mentioned, you know, the weapons that they have in the backfield. They return like their top three rushers from a year ago. They've got some guys, Allers and Shanklin, who could be real dangerous weapons for BJ White to throw to and get the ball to, and Rizaya Mady and other skill guys. Kieran Hedred, who was a fixture in the outfield for the Kennedy baseball team as a freshman, expected to, I think White, Coach White said he might be the fastest kid on the entire team,
mm-hmm.
you know, which you know, says a lot. And they've got real strong defense, or the makings of a real strong defense, a good linebacker core. Cade Parker, they expect big things from. Ben Saracen, who's an accomplished wrestler, as we mentioned. Brock Remico, who plays that kind of hybrid linebacker D-back thing that Kennedy's had. It could be a real fun year for them. And, you know, they learn, like a couple years ago with Beyer and those guys, they closed. The fourth quarter was theirs. They did it against Washington. They did it against the best teams. That last half of the fourth quarter, they took over. This team learns it. It could be something special like that team a couple years ago.
Yep, I would agree with that. And some of the other games tonight, I really think one that's kind of flying under the radar a little bit is Union and Marion.
For sure.
Because I think Marion is going to be very much improved even from last year, and Union's got one of the better quarterback-wide receiver combinations in Eastern Iowa.
Yep, and, you know, Union's replacing a few big names. Isaiah Vaughn was a key for their offense. Michael Aronson up front was a anchor to their lines offensively and defensively. Marion, you were at the kickoff at Kingston with us. I just got a vibe, a confident feeling out of Coach Lovell and the players that were there that this isn't the same team that was just kind of learning how to walk and crawl last year under Lovell. This is a team that's coming in with expectations that are through the roof, that, hey, their chest is puffed out and, you know, we're going to be darn good. And that's something, you know, getting them to believe is half the battle. You got Trevor Paulson, who stepped in at quarterback and really helped turn things around last year when they went 5-4 in Lovell's first year. You got Blair Brooks as a weapon. You know, I really think they have the makings of having a very good team. And, you know, Union is going to be just as strong. I believe they were runner-up last year.
Yep.
You know, so Joe Hadicek is a great coach there as well, former BV head coach.
Oh, he's a
by the way,
here. I didn't know
by the way,
that.
Duke's with his coach shirt on. But no, that's a really good game as well. Solon and Mount Vernon.
Yeah, yeah, and I can't believe the streak right now that Solon's got.
That was
in that thing. I did
very surprising. Very surprising that it's been 14 years. You know, Solon's been good for a long time, but for them to have that kind of streak against Mount Vernon, which has been solid as well. That streak's probably going back to the Jacob Craig, Matt Kroll days, probably, when they were at Mount Vernon. But, you know, this could be the year. This could be the year. Drew Adams is coming back with over 6,000 yards passing the last 2 years combined. Cale Sneddon is top target, also back. So you know that they're gonna pass, they're gonna move the ball, they're gonna put up points. How good is their defense gonna be? I know they lost some key guy, Cochran.
Worse.
and more. You know, worse as well on both sides of the ball. So we'll see how the defense holds up, but you know, Solon is gonna be good up front. You got Linderbaum is gonna be a Hawkeye. A couple other big guys up front. Kendrick Harris, who's a returning rusher from last year. So you know what you're going to get from Solon. It'll just be interesting to see whether or not Mount Vernon can slow them down enough to outscore them.
KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, joining us on the gym class towards the back half of the show here on this Friday. Two Metro teams we haven't talked about, Linmar and Jefferson. Linmar City High is going to be interesting from the standpoint that both teams are kind of rebuilding, I think, and PJ's debut. And then Jefferson, thin on numbers, it's some good skill people, but those two teams in action tonight as well.
Yeah, you know, Jefferson, I think, is an interesting team. You hit the nail on the head. What's been kind of their Achilles heel, numbers and depth. They seem to play teams tough for the first half and have the talent to match other teams. It's just as the game goes on, they wear down because they don't have the depth and the balance to get kids rest and everything else in the fourth quarter. Just things just kind of slip away. I think that's pretty much how PV beat them last year. 31-7, but I think it was closer, and PV just pulled away in the second half, especially in the fourth. They've got some big, strong guys up front. Keenan Stewart, an All-Stater from a year ago, is up to like 260, and this kid is the strongest athlete that's ever come through Jeff. He has all the weightlifting records. You know,
our next guest disputes that.
I know. I was just kind of looking over my shoulder to see how Knox was taking that, but you know, he is a strong. He's going to stop. He's going to cause a lot of fits for offensive lines, and now they've kind of got a bookend with Jarvis Garnett, I believe.
Yeah,
big guy on the other side of the line. They lose Tavien Rashad, who was a playmaker on both sides of the ball. But, you know, they've got guys coming back. Noah Vauder, I think they've got a lot of speed and skill guys. Kind of remind you a little bit of when they had Manny Olatunde, and we were talking about Tino Green as well. They might have some guys like that. It's just going to depend if they can sustain it for four quarters. And if they can, if they're in shape and they've got that stamina to hang with teams, they could be a real, real good team by the time postseason comes around.
Yeah. And then PJ kicks it off at Linmar, three away from 100.
How weird is it seeing him in black and red? You know?
Especially for you.
Yeah, right?
used to him yelling at you. You know.
Yeah. I wish he was at Linmar then. No. I'm just kidding. But, no, it's going to be interesting because, you know, you could still see there's a competitive fire there. You know, I think what's going to help them, it looks like they have some size coming back up front. You know, they've got some guys last year that were 270, 285, something Iowa City High does not have. They are small, and they're going to have that advantage now. You know, Sabres is going to have a defense that's going to slant and be quicker to kind of fit the skills that his personnel has. But I really think sometimes you just need a change to kind of fire up or you know, to get reinvigorated a little bit. I think this would be great for PJ. There's a lot of wealth of talent out there at Linmar that you can tap into. It's a nice big school district with good facilities. So I think it'll be fun to see how they adapt to him and just how they grow throughout the season.
Yeah, and all gets underway coming up tonight. You got your army of folks out covering things. So
yeah, we'll be all over. Jeff Johnson will be at Marion. I'll be at Kingston, of course. Linder will be out at Mount Vernon Solon.
Which is at Cornell.
At Cornell, actually. And they'll be awarding Tristan Wirfs with our Athlete of the Year plaque and award at halftime, I believe. You know, try to think. I believe Jeff Johnson is actually at Linmar, and then Mike Condon is at Marion for Union Marion, and okay. we'll be all over. I think we even have somebody heading to the Tractor Bowl, maybe at Central City in Springville,
where they literally drive tractors to the game.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear, which is kind of kooky and fun all at the same time. But you know, kind of neat there for the former Catbirds when they're combined as one program.
That's right. Yeah, going back then. You want to introduce the next guy? No.
I don't know.
Be nice.
Yeah.
No.
We have some unfinished business that I don't really want any part of. But
you can stay with us for a little bit.
I'll be out.
All right. All right. Well, hey, we'll see you tonight out at Kingston.
Sounds good.
Thanks for stopping
by. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, KJ Pilcher from the Gazette. Follow him on Twitter and follow him at thegazette.com. We're going to take a break. As we head to break, going to give you an opportunity to win a Dr. Pepper prize pack. If you are caller number six right now, 319-366-1600, that's 319-366-1600, you're going to get our final Dr. Pepper prize pack, which includes a 24-pack of regular or diet Dr. Pepper, your choice. Some Dr. Pepper prizes, some KGYM prizes, including one of our great KGYM pint glasses to enjoy your ice-cold Dr. Pepper in. 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are on a spiritual journey towards savings. Your mind is drifting into uncharted territory as you use the Name Your Price tool to find policy options that fit your budget. Options that fit perfectly. like football pants or the unitard thingies wrestlers wear.
Experience inner peace with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Labor Day savings at the Home Depot means serving up to 30% off appliance special buys, like the Whirlpool Top Freezer Refrigerator in stainless steel for just $599. Save $150. Its adjustable storage bins let you keep food organized just the way you like. And the price? That's pretty tasty too. Up to 30% off appliance special buys now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details, valid through September 13th.
For a great shave at a great price, make the smarter choice. Join Dollar Shave Club. Use their executive razor with their Dr. Carver shave butter for a smooth, precise shave. And for a limited time, new members can get their first month of the executive razor with a tube of Dr. Carver shave butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. And you can only get this offer at dollarshaveclub.com/Jones. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Jones.
If he takes it all the way, you don't have to pay. Here at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, we're kicking off football season in a huge way. Here's how. You come to Siebke Hoyt Jewelers for our big kickoff sale on Friday, August 25th through Sunday, August 27th. And you save up to 25% on that engagement ring, anniversary band, or that big pair of diamond studs you've always wanted. Plus, there'll be tailgating food and chances to win game tickets. Then, you go home a very happy person. Then you turn on the TV and watch the Iowa versus Wyoming game. And if the home team returns the opening or halftime kickoff for a touchdown, your jewelry is free. Yeah, if he takes it all the way, you don't have to pay. So, you could save up to 25% on your purchase, and there's a chance you may get it free. It's the 6th annual kickoff sale at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, Friday, August 25th through Sunday, the 27th. We're Siebke Hoyt, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged and loves football.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at KGYMradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City, driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips this summer. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM. Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
Congratulations to Vanessa. Listening from Mechanicsville today. She's our final winner in our Dr. Pepper prize pack for this week. Thanks to Steve and everybody for helping us out with that. And enjoy the ice cold Dr. Pepper, either regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper, when you're out and about this weekend or listening to the football games that we'll have for you coming up tonight. Mark, we do have a poll question at KGYMradio.com. And Emil's Hideaway brings you that. First Avenue South is east behind the Taco John's and right next to the Home Depot.
Pretty simple. Maybe we'll ask our guests how they feel about this as well. Who wins the fight Saturday night? Floyd Mayweather or Conor McGregor?
McGregor or Mayweather?
Thanks to Emil's Hideaway. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot behind Taco John's. Hall of Famer Mike Knox, what do you think?
Floyd Mayweather all the way.
It's a boxing match, right?
It's a boxing match. I'm a huge MMA fan. I've been to three actual events, including UFC 4, but there is no chance here.
None whatsoever?
None whatsoever.
What happens, though, to MMA if McGregor wins this thing? I mean, does it go just explode?
It blows wide up and gives everybody a shot to do whatever they want to. But if you remember, there was a boxer that went into MMA, James Toney, and he got beat up pretty good by Randy Couture.
Right.
Yeah. So that stopped that. So now Conor's trying to do the other way, MMA to boxing. If he happened to win, it opens the doors. But you got something you got to think about. Floyd Mayweather wants to say he's the best ever.
Yeah.
Not Muhammad Ali.
He's 40, though, Mike.
He's 40 years old. But an MMA guy, he's going to see that punch coming a mile away. He has no chance.
KJ, what do you think?
I've got to agree with Mike on this one. There are guys that train their entire life in the discipline of boxing that have been pummeled by Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example is Ricky Hatton. Ever remember him?
Oh,
Welsh guy?
Oh, yeah.
Who they thought was going to bring a and they were going to crack his goose egg, and Mayweather made him look silly. And that was somebody that was devoted to boxing. And now you've got somebody that kind of boxes as part of what he does. There's no way.
Cutting
no way.
Into Mike's good softball time here.
Oh, boxing is a good sport to talk about. It. We can talk about it.
Cutting into it here.
Could save some people some money. Think about Connor. I'm trying to help you out.
Go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com. Mike Knox is here in studio to join us and talk about the big annual Hall of Fame softball weekend that's going on. This coming weekend, among other things. It's going to be great weather for you guys. I know that.
It looks like it should be a really good weekend. First of all, thanks for having me here, and really looking forward to this weekend. So trying to get the word out, let everybody know what we got coming up for this weekend.
Two-day event. What do you got going?
Yes, sir. Hall of Fame weekend is Saturday, Sunday, the 26th and 27th. We will have a 8-team, 16-inch featured softball tournament for the weekend. We played on both days. The game start at 9:30 tomorrow morning. And we'll conclude with the last game at 5:30 Saturday night with Carl Hudson entertaining the folks with live music after that. Saturday during the day at noon, right after the 10:40 game, we will have a fast pitch all-star game. And during this game, we will feature three gentlemen that will throw out the first pitch, being one gentleman I'm sure you gentlemen know really well. Mr. Greg Bosch.
You'd still get people out.
Yes, sir.
Probably still could get people out.
Greg Bosch, Al Roush, and Denny Linderbaum will throw out the first pitch for the fast pitch game. And this was a big hit last year with everybody, so we're doing it again. And Gene Turner's got some teams together for him, and then they got an all-star team. So besides the 16-inch game, you get to see a little bit of fast pitch, and that is a lot of fun.
Mm. Yeah, the way it used to be.
Absolutely.
Out at Ellis.
Absolutely. So we're looking forward for a lot of folks to come out there and watch those guys. And then Sunday, we will start at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. The induction ceremony start at noon. And this year's induction class, I'd like to read those off if I could.
You bet.
This year's inductees will be Emmett Doolin, Mike Brown Sr., Cheryl K. Porter, Craig Hartman, Rod Smith, Bill Jones, Ed Murphy, Norm Nielsen, and the late Steve Foreno. That's this year's class going in the Hall of Fame inductions this weekend. And the 2007 state open champion, 16-inch open champion CJs is the honor team for the weekend. So ceremony will start at noon. So come on out and enjoy the festivities. And just to let you know, right after concluding the ceremonies, we will have a 14 and under girls fast pitch game. Jefferson and Xavier, I believe, will be playing a fast pitch game. And that went over really well last year. A lot of people came out and really enjoyed that. So we will have that as well for you on Sunday.
Played against Doolin and Hartman in 14-inch slow pitch, and we couldn't get them out.
Great athletes. Mr. Doolin was one of my role models when I started playing 16-inch and wanted to be really, really just like him because he could play, played hard, played intense, a good ball player, and so looking forward to him coming out this weekend.
Yeah, and a great class again
that
you guys are inducting.
Absolutely.
I mean, you really can't go wrong, though. There's so many that have yet to be inducted, too.
There's quite a list, and, you know, every year we do a great job. We put a selection committee together that chooses, you know, the ones that will go in every year. But it's every year that a good class goes in, and all of them are well-deserving. I'd also like to mention that this year's 2017 recipient of our scholarship for the Hall of Fame weekend is Amanda Pipolo. She was a Prairie grad. She's at Kirkwood right now, and she received the award from the Hall of Fame, which we do every year. So we was hoping she was going to be out there, and now we found out she will be in attendance to receive the award. So we're really looking forward to that as well.
I think it's an opportunity, Mike, having been out there for multiple events, for people to, I'm assuming the Hall of Fame building will be open and folks can
all weekend.
And
yes,
really
sir.
Take a look at some great memorabilia from the old fast pitch days, just every level of softball.
When the floods came and we had to empty out the building again, but they've done a really, really, really good job. They got all the stuff back in the building. The pitchers are back up. So, yeah, come out this weekend and take some time to walk through that stuff. A lot of photos, trophies, pitchers, jerseys, everything, memorabilia from back in the days. And as you just mentioned, you know, fast pitch has been around so long. There's so much stuff you can get in there and just read about. Mm. You know, bring your kids out here and take a look at this stuff because you want to see history. It's in this building. And it's fascinating to go over there. I mean, every time I go back in there, I see something new. You just can't get enough
just
of it.
Just being on Diamond One at Ellis Park.
And see the pictures.
That's the part of history.
And see the pictures that people took of the crowds.
Yes.
Amazing crowds.
Yes.
That were, you know, unfortunately, we don't see those again, probably, but
not as much.
That's still, man, those were some of the great summer nights that I can remember.
Absolutely. So, yeah, come on out. There's plenty of food, beverages, everything out there for you to see. Come out and enjoy it. Hopefully the weather, you know, sounds like it's going to be a good weekend. So come out and enjoy yourself because this is what it's all about. And, you know, there'll be all kinds of softball to watch. Friends, I know for sure there's a Budweiser reunion out there this weekend. They decided to get together and have a reunion. So teams are, you know, taking this weekend to get back in contact with everybody. So it should be a lot of fun.
I'll give you an opportunity, unless you filled it, Mike. I noticed the Cedar Rapids Softball Hall of Fame website does not, at least last I saw, have an editor, administrator. You're looking for a volunteer?
We are looking for a volunteer to fill that void.
Very important.
It is important. A gentleman had to step down, and he's put it out there, and we've asked some of the members to see if there's anybody available. So if you know anybody, a family or friend that's willing to help us with that, the gentleman will train somebody and show them how to do that, but we really need somebody that can volunteer their time to keep that web page open because it is important, and a lot of people do use it and look at it. So right now we're just pretty much utilizing the Facebook page right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anybody out there that you know that's willing to come do that, come out this weekend and ask for me or Bear Stockfleet or Larry Pilcher, and we'll direct you in the right direction, and we'd love to have somebody come out and help out with that. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, kind of some of the major important times for this weekend. Throw that out one more time.
The 16-inch tournament will start at 9:30 on Saturday, 8 o'clock on Sunday, but the games will be going all day long. Saturday's the fast pitch game will start around noon. On Sunday, the ceremony starts at noon with all the inductions, the honor team, and then the girls' fast pitch softball to follow. Carl Hudson plays Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and he will be out there for a couple hours, you know, delighting the fans with live music. So come on out. A lot of, you know, like I said, good food, beverages and stuff, and it'll be a great weekend to bring your family and just come out and enjoy the weather.
Yeah, well, and Al can still probably bring it too, can he?
I'm pretty sure Al and Greg can probably do it. I tell you this, I'm not stepping in the box. We thought about maybe taking a couple swings at the 16-inch ball, the one we can see coming in there, but I'm not getting in there on the fast pitch. I'm going to stay away from that one, I think.
He'll throw you a changeup, I'm sure he will.
He'd mix me up real bad, on purpose. On purpose. Let me see a good one right away and then twist me up.
They've done it to everybody, though.
Absolutely.
Over the years. Good stuff. Best of luck this weekend. I know it'll be a good one out there, Mike.
One more thing I'd like to just bring up to introduce the local teams that are in, out-of-town teams that we're really proud that are coming to the tournament here this weekend. Mm-hmm. We have Old Timer from Marshalltown and Hall of Fame Concession from Marshalltown. Chucks and Blitz are from Des Moines area that are coming. And Cedar Rapids local teams that will be playing in it will be Stadium, Mr. B's, Lookouts, Iowa Truck and Muscle, and the 2017 state champion, CJ's Sports Bar and Grill, who did a fantastic job a couple weekends ago and won the state tournament. Congratulations to those guys, and we look forward to playing this weekend with those folks. So come on out, enjoy the weather, and enjoy some great softball all around. It doesn't matter what sport you really care about out there. Softball is softball, a lot of friends and family, so come out and enjoy yourself.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Mike, for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Mark, who wins? You going with these guys?
Absolutely.
I am too.
Absolutely.
And you can vote at KGYMradio.com.
John Cranton, our friend, emailed, I know we got to go, but emailed us and said $2 million bets yesterday afternoon in Vegas on Mayweather.
Sharp guys.
Sharp guys.
Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show is next.
Metro PCS announces the best unlimited deal in wireless. Get two lines of unlimited 4G LTE data for just $75, period.